This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Tuesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. May corn, 357, down 1.25. July corn, 361, up a half. September corn, 366, up a half. May soybeans, 967, down 16. July soybeans, 955.5, down 18.5. August soybeans, 948, down 18.5. May wheat, 479.25, up 3. July wheat, 480.5, down 0.5. September wheat, 487.5, down 0.5. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday's grain market report. The Illinois country grain prices ended mostly lower on Tuesday afternoon. The higher-than-expected new crop soybean forecast in today's USDA report weighed on soybean values. And in northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids a penny higher at $3.39 to $3.55, while soybean bids dropped 17 to 19 cents at $9.30 to $9.51. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids a steady to a penny higher at $3.40 to $3.61. Soybean bids down 17 to 18 cents at $9.41 to $9.62. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were steady at $3.49 to $3.66. Soybean bids down 17 to 18 cents at $9.46 to $9.70. And the wheat bids steady to a penny higher at $3.87 to $4.43. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids dropped 17 to 19 cents at 976 to 983. Basis steady to 2 cents stronger at 20 to 27 over July. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $306.40 to $323.40 per ton, down $6.80 to $8.80 per ton, with basis steady to $2 per ton lower at 3 to 20 over July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 1 to 2 higher at $3.61 to $3.78, with basis steady to a penny higher, ranging from option to 17 over July. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids a penny higher at $3.63 to $3.67, basis steady at 2 to 6 over July. Soybeans dropped 16 to 19 cents on Tuesday at $9.72 to $9.76. with basis steady to 3 cents higher at 16 to 20 over July, and new crop wheat prices ended a penny lower at 460 to 463, with basis steady at 21 under to 18 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 1 to 2 higher at 386 to 387. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices 14 to 16 cents, with quotations at 996 to 998. Soft wheat steady on Tuesday at 480 to 481, and Milo ended unchanged at 411 to 427. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 336 up to 351. New crop soybean bids range from 873 up to 902. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 331 to 348. New crop soybean bids at $8.95 to $9.10, and in the southern part of the state on Tuesday, new crop corn bids range from $3.34 up to $3.51. New crop soybean bids range from $8.85 up to $9.04, and wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois, those range from $4.43 up to $4.73. That completes our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Tuesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. June live cattle, $151.47, up $1.22. August live cattle, $149.65, up 85 cents. October live cattle, $150.77, up 92 cents. May feeder cattle, $217.70, up 92 cents. August feeder cattle, $216.45, down 97 cents. September feeder cattle, $215.32, down $1.12. May lean hogs, $81.30, up 60 cents. June lean hogs, 85.05, up 77 cents. July lean hogs, 84.95, up $1.17. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday the 12th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.18 higher in the range of $69 to $81.50, with the weighted average carcass price of $78.98. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady to a dollar lower with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 16 to 21, 4 to 5 weights 19 to 25, 5 to 6 weights 22 to 26, and 6 weights and up 23 to 29. On the Illinois direct hog trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading 50 cents higher with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $50 to $56.50. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 7,389 head. And now for the opening report from United Producers at Shelbyville. They had receipts of 503 head. Compared to last week, steers and heifers were 2 to 250 higher. Holstein steers were 250 higher. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they range from 160 to 168. Select and choice, 150 to 156.50. Holstein steers choice, 150 to 157. And heifers choice were 160 to 167.50. Select and choice heifers, 150 to 158.50. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 335 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $83.67, and that was $2.67 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses, $2.60.96, that was $1.39 higher, with select carcasses at $2.47.75, that was 35 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 114,000. That compared to 114,000 last week and 120,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 423,000. That compared to 419,000 last week and 415,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
For a look at this week's grain markets, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. He says USDA reports are causing the most buzz in the markets this week.
Well, as we look at the grain markets, it's all about the USDA crop report. This crop report has the first balance sheets of the 2015-16 marketing year. It sets the stage. It's the filter through which all weather forecasts from this point forward are viewed. As far as acreage and yield expectations, ending stock expectations, it kind of sets the tone going forward. Well, as we go through the next couple of weeks, USDA's course numbers provide, as I said, the backdrop. Large stocks mean that weather threats have to be more significant in order to have a bullish effect on the market, particularly if we do see the dollar hold on its strength. If the dollar breaks lower, large stocks have less of effect. Smaller stocks than expected tend to give weather events a little bit more of notice. Now, when we break down the numbers, basically we see that USDA really is not showing that big of a global surplus of corn. So from a fundamental standpoint, any legitimate weather scare we can get this summer, we probably have, and over the next few weeks for that matter, for the example, planting delays for getting the final portion of the crop planted or something like that, or excessive wetness that might create denitrification in the soils or something like that. That would create a little bit better opportunity for maybe some type of adding some risk premium to the corn market. followed by wheat. Although if we were to get such a short covering rally in wheat on those concerns, the impact would probably be more significant from a pricing standpoint because the funds hold larger short positions in wheat relative to the size of the crop. So it does provide that backdrop that can either amplify or nullify some of the moves in the markets going forward.
Also influencing this week's grain markets is how actions taken by Greece are affecting the euro.
We're also keeping a close eye on Greece and continues to have an effect on the currency markets, and the currency markets have had a larger than normal impact on grain and oilseed prices this year. Greece has effectively convinced its creditors for now that it is serious about making reforms. Nothing has been agreed to, but it has showed good enough intentions that it has bought more time in those negotiations. And with more time, that means the euro has been seeing a rebound in strength. The dollar has turned lower. Money's flowing into the commodity sector. And when the speculative hedge funds hold massive short positions in corn and wheat like they do, that leaves us vulnerable to more upside if we don't see a steady flow of additional bearish news. Even though the long-term fundamentals are bearish, it could give us a short covering rally that we could sell here this spring yet.
In addition to watching financials play out in the European Union, traders are keeping a close eye on South American countries, where union strikes could create enough of a problem to drive more export opportunities to the U.S.
I think one of the things we need to pay attention to for the soybean market going forward is ongoing potential supply disruptions out of Argentina. We continue to see threats of strikes in that area. We saw the crushers union that affects about 20% of crush have a strike earlier this month. And then the port workers are also talking about a potential strike this week. Now we have a potential strike also from other workers, construction workers in Argentina, to start on Monday, and they say they will block roads going to the ports to stop movement of soybeans and other commodities to the port. That type of supply disruptions could end up sending more export business to the United States, tighten up offers for old crop stocks, strengthen them a little bit more. Although new crop fundamentals for soybeans remain very weak, that could give us more strength in the old crop bids going forward.
Suderman also gave an overview of this week's livestock markets, starting off with a balancing act that's taking place in the cattle markets.
Well, we're continuing to see good strength in the cash hog market, and the product market is moving higher as well. The problem is the futures market got too far in advance of the cash market. We're starting to see a little bit of softening in the demand for the product, and so therefore the packer margins are going negative. So now we're seeing a correction back lower in the lean hog futures market. Long-term fundamentals for the hogs, I think, are still relatively fundamental. This market had simply gone ahead of itself and now needs to correct itself. Over in the live cattle futures, we're seeing a little bit different dynamics, and there the live cattle futures traders have been skeptical of strength in the cash, continuing to believe that the cash cannot hold the market, but yet the cash market does continue to exceed those expectations and does continue to do better than expected. So it keeps pulling the futures market up. The futures market comes up, but then says, oh, it can't hold it, and it goes back down. So the long and the short of it is we see that June live cattle are trading largely between 148 and 152 on the board. Periodically, they'll spike one way or the other outside of that trading range, but neither rallies nor breaks can be sustained, and it continues to reflect that skepticism. Demand for beef is strong. It seems to be strengthening now as we go into barbecue season, but we're also importing a lot of beef as well, and the relative strength of the dollar is helping facilitate those imports to meet some of that demand. It's still a very fine balance that packers are maintaining, but they've been able to do so in a way that maintains positive profit margins. So they do have some incentive to pull more cattle through the packing plants, and they have been doing so in recent weeks, increasing the kill, but the supply has been increasing as well. So far it's been a very precariously balanced supply and demand, but generally supportive of prices so far, keeping the cash dragging the futures along.
The beef industry has been testing the limits of how much consumers are willing to pay for beef products, and that limit testing does not look to be ending anytime soon.
Well, we've been pushing the limit, and the trade continues to think the consumer's going to run away from the beef and not consume the beef. They did drop from steaks down to ground beef, but they wouldn't leave their ground beef. And even when pork prices plummeted over the last 6 months, yet the demand for beef has remained there. And that's been one of the things that just has amazed the entire industry, is the resiliency of demand, or the inelasticity, the economists would say, of demand for beef, and particularly ground beef, but also now as grilling season starts, for the steaks as well. So if it were not for the imports of beef, we'd be running into some real shortages here and probably be looking at much higher prices.
Meanwhile, avian influenza is spreading to more poultry farms, but this time it's a different strain.
Well, we had our first confirmation of avian flu in Indiana. Ironically, it's not the same strain that we've been seeing through much of the center of the country. It's a strain that we've seen on the West Coast. So a little bit of a mystery there for our government officials trying to figure that one out. But nonetheless, it is a spread of avian flu. We've lost over 30 million birds already, either through direct death from the disease or from culling to prevent spread of the disease. And it continues to be a problem for the poultry industry. For a long time, initially, avian flu was seen as bearish for pork prices. Now it's seen as supportive for pork prices because we're starting to lose enough birds that it's seen as removing competitive meat supplies from the marketplace.
Suderman says the pork industry is looking to benefit from the hard times in the poultry industry, something they were unable to do a year or two ago with the beef industry, thanks to the PED virus.
Ironically, the pork industry had the similar opportunity to grab market share when beef supplies became very tight, but could not do so because the PED virus was then attacking the pork industry as well. Well, now the pork industry is healing, shall we say, and learning to manage the PED virus problem, and so it's in a little better position this time around to expand and take some of that market share away from poultry.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.